Jesus in Hosea and also Micah speaks of him coming not only in the former reign, but the latter reign. You know, in Hosea chapter 6, it says, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. And after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live before him. And let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth." Well, on the morning of the third day, which is where we are now, this is where the latter rain is going to begin. And the Lord is coming to us. But how is he coming? He's coming in his first fruits, the same as we see over here. My name is in him. He said, verse 22, Exodus 23 and 22, "But if thou shalt indeed hearken unto his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries." Boy, I tell you, that's what we need in the coming days, folks. We need to hear the voice of the Lord and follow him, because God will be an enemy to our enemies. If we don't follow him, our enemies will be there to take advantage of us. You know, if a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. That's what the Bible says. So if we hear this voice, notice how God really points it, makes this clear, that we have to listen to his voice in this messenger, this first fruits. Verse 23, "For my messenger shall go before thee, and shall bring thee into the Amorite, and to the Hittite, and to the Perizzite, and to the Canaanite, and to the Hivite, and to the Jebusite, and I will cut them off." Of course, this is the old man that lives in the land. This is the enemies that inhabited the land before Israel. And you know who your land is, right? Hebrews chapter 6 tells you that you are that land. And Malachi chapter 3 tells us that we will be a delightsome land. You know, we are the land. The enemy that dwells in that land is the old man. And the spiritual man has been given authority by the sword of the word of God to go in there and conquer that old man. Well, basically, this messenger is going to lead God's people against their enemies. And as long as people will listen to his voice, which will be the voice of the Lord, which will be the unleavened bread, they will have victory over their enemies. Verse 24, "Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and break in pieces their pillars. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless thy bread and thy water." Yes, he will bless our spiritual bread and our spiritual water, right? The living word of God. "And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee," very much what Jesus did as the man child and the disciples after him, as they just destroyed sickness among the people that heard and believed, you know. "And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall none cast her young, nor be barren in the land." In other words, they're all going to bear fruit. Everybody that listens to the voice, notice it all goes back to that, verse 23:2. "If thou shalt indeed hearken unto his voice and do all that I speak," okay, "and I shall none cast her young, nor be barren in the land. And the number of thy days I will fulfill." Do you know what the Bible says in Hosea, right? That my people are destroyed for lack of understanding. Many people don't get to live out their days because of living in foolishness and not listening to the voice of the Lord, right? "But the number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my terror before thee and will discomfort all the people to whom thou shalt come." In other words, God will make your enemy, which is the old man, afraid of you. He will humble himself to you. "And I will send the hornet before thee." Okay, I want to look at another verse that's very similar to this in Deuteronomy 18 and 15. 18 and 15 says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. and unto him you shall hearken. So God is raising up another, like unto Moses. He raised up Jesus, like unto Moses. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 3 compares Jesus and Moses as heads of their house. Okay? And what the Lord has shown me is that the prophecies about Jesus are also true about the man-child, because inside the man-child is the Lord himself, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And just as we saw here in Exodus 23. So the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. There it is again. According to all that thou desired of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. In other words, they sent Moses to talk to the Lord. They couldn't come upon the mount because they weren't holy. And they would have been smitten dead had they come upon the mount. That sent Moses to go talk to the Lord, basically, or the Lord called Moses to come and talk to him for the people. Exactly what we just saw about the messenger. Moses came back with the voice of the Lord. The man-child, Jesus, was born out of heaven with the word of God for the people of God. And the man-child is going to have the same experience. Okay, verse 17. And the Lord said unto me, they have well said that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth. There it is again. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak, there it is, in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet that shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And obviously, let me tell you that just as when Jesus came and the false prophet of the Sanhedrin spoke their false words against him, they did die. They lost their eternal life. And verse 21 says, and if thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. The prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Well, we know that God's given great grace with the gift of prophecy, but we also know there is an office of prophet that carries an awful lot more responsibility than someone just has the gift of prophecy. There's an awful lot of people out there that claim to be prophets, and they are not. But they do have the gift of prophecy, and they do prophesy in part in some cases. And God's very merciful. But did you notice, at the time of the coming of this prophet that God speaks about here in Deuteronomy 18, at that time, when people speak as a prophet against this work or against the prophet, they're going to lose their life. Also, I want to point out to you where this is quoted in Acts chapter 3. And that's in verse 22. Moses indeed said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me. To him shall ye hearken in all things. In all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and them that followed after, as many as have spoken, they also told of these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Meaning, once again, we're talking about the Gentiles here, who are going to follow up in the same steps here. So God is sending his prophet in the steps of Jesus, his man-child, in whom Jesus lives, with great authority to speak the truth and to pass on the truth to messengers who will pass on these truths to multitudes more of the disciples of Christ. And God is very quickly going to restore those who want to be restored, those who have a gift and a desire to be restored. God's going to very quickly restore these people. And I'm going to share something else with you here. Let me find it here. Excuse me. Has something very interesting here from Amos Skaggs. Amos sent me a vision that he received, and I think it's right down this line. Matter of fact, it's right down the line of what I've been sharing with you for some time, what the Lord showed me. This was on 12/17/05. After seeing that the first fruits man-child will be sealed very soon, he received a vision from the Lord showing the two stages of his work in and through his last day's disciples. And this is pretty neat here, I think. Listen to this. Again, he starts with the first fruits man-child being sealed. Okay? And the first stage he saw was these modern disciples being gathered together, including myself. So Amos was among them. And preparations had been made by the Lord well in advance, evidently to gather them together and to teach them and so on and so forth. He said, we were adequately taken care of and our needs met without asking. Obviously, that's something that's new to the Christian world, but it's God's way. You ask the Lord, you know. You go to the Lord with your needs and He meets them. He moves in people's hearts and He meets them. And so God's making that point here through Amos that their needs were met without asking. You didn't see anybody, by the way, in the Gospels or in the book of Acts going around begging like the preachers do you? You don't see that, do you? It's just not there because they were people of faith. And most ministries are not people of faith, frankly. And so he said, we gathered together in fields, feasting and listening to Jesus. The voice of the Lord. Here it is. Well, I don't know if you believe that Jesus is going to come back and teach the disciples again physically, but obviously that's not true. Obviously he is coming in his first fruits just as he does throughout history. Has manifested himself in his people and to teach the, if you want to call them second fruits, okay? So they were feasting and listening to Jesus while he taught us his ways. And I put a little note in here. I said, this is a repetition of history. Jesus manifested in the first fruits man-child will teach and protect the disciples for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, just as it was in the Gospels. They will be trained to be his witnesses, and signs and wonders will follow their teaching, just as it was with the first disciples. Now Amos is given some more of his revelation here. He says, we were going through different parts of the world, but seemed to be in the same field. Well, you know what the field is, right? The field is the world, according to Jesus in Matthew 13. So this really fits. We were also given protection well in advance. You know that God is going to protect his people in the first 3.5 years. And as a matter of fact, that protection is going to extend to God's two witnesses and multitudes of others, of course, into the second 3.5 years, up until the point it's time for the witnesses to go home, in which case they will not feel the sting of death, contrary to what a lot of people think. The sting of death is sin, and these people are not walking in sin, and they will not feel the sting of death. I'm going to read on. We were being given monetary things from Christians that believed in and were sympathetic to our cause, but stayed in their prosperous communities. They were good people and kind to us. And when we left this first teaching stage, they even came to see us off on our journey. Well, you know, Jesus taught. Jesus is a type of the man-child, taught for 3.5 years, taught the disciples. And then when he was finished, they kind of went out solo, didn't they? They went out 2 by 2 in the second period called the Book of Acts. And, of course, we got our own Book of Acts coming, folks. Much greater than the Book of Acts you read about in the Bible, believe it or not. And they're going to be sent out. And the same thing is going to happen. Okay, these brethren were, I'm talking about the people that were meeting their needs and taking care of them and seeing them off on their journey. My note is these brethren were not called to be among the man-child or witnesses who are God's apostles to raise up the end-time church, but they are called to support these ministers. Just as the witnesses were hand-picked by Jesus in the Gospels, so it will be this time. You know, I can just envision when the man-child ministry starts that there'll be all kinds of volunteers. Pick me, Jesus, pick me. I know I'd be there with my hand up. Pick me, Lord. But you know, you remember when Jesus went out and really hand-picked these people because God already knew who he wanted to be the apostles of the church, the forefathers. He had already chosen them. Matter of fact, he even chose Judas. So there'll be some of that too. You know, he even chose Judas to be among them. And there will be, because obviously somebody had to nail Jesus on the cross, didn't he? So this is going to also be repeated. And then Amos got the revelation of the second stage, he called it. The second stage was that we were gathered into groups of twos and threes and being sent out into the world. Some would never return to see their families ever again. We were being sent in different groups and then being dispersed. One had the same spirit and anointing as John. Another had the same spirit and anointing as Peter. Another had the spirit and anointing of James, and so forth. Isn't that neat? You know, you hear about the two witnesses in the book of Revelation of having basically the spirit and anointing of Moses and Elijah. And that's true. But wonder where the spirit of Moses and Elijah came from. Did you know that Moses and Elijah individually, both of them in their text, are a revelation of the man-child ministry? But also together, they're a revelation of the witness ministry. And here's the point. What those disciples were in Jesus' day, those apostles, what they were, came straight out of Jesus. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. You want to know where the spirit of Moses and Elijah came from? In those early disciples? It came out of Jesus. And in these days, the same thing's going to happen. You know, what he's saying here is the spirit of Peter and James and John. This is the spirit of the two witnesses. Folks, you see how the parallel is starting to tie things together here? It's neat the way prophecy will, you know, totally confirm what's being taught truthfully out of the Word. So we're not only talking about the spirit of Moses and Elijah, but of John and Peter and James. And these, their spirit actually came out of Jesus. The words that he spoke created that spirit in them. You know, Jesus was Moses. He was the man-child that brought the children of Israel into the wilderness. And he was Elijah. Okay? But also, that spirit that had been born from above, that resided in that body of the Son of David, was being imparted to his disciples. Did you hear what I said? The spirit that was born from above was entering into those disciples. The reason I'm saying that is because we're going to look at another vision here in a moment that basically says that. Okay, I put my note here. I said these are the corporate two witnesses who in Jesus' day were sent out two by two and will be sent out the same way by the man-child. They will raise up the church and the true fivefold ministries as in the book of Acts. You know that the apostles went out and raised up the fivefold ministry, the real fivefold ministry. And I know that people claim a lot of that today. A lot of people claim to be apostles and claim to be of the fivefold ministry, but I can tell you a few of them are. You know, most elders in churches are just basically assistants to the pastor, you know, instead of actually ordained ministers of the gospel. You know, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. But the apostles' job here in the book of Acts, and in our own book of Acts coming, is going to be to raise up that fivefold ministry. Some people say the fivefold ministry has passed away. No, it's not. It's not passed away. It's coming to perfect the church. Amos goes on. He says, I also saw, this is a little different part of his vision, he also saw two rich people that were in government power. These were two older friends that partially raised me when I was younger. And have been dead for 30 to 40 plus years. That's interesting. You know, a lot of us were raised by these two people. As soon as you see who they are, you're going to see, I think a lot of us were raised up in that house. So, he said, he was the lieutenant governor of Ohio, and his wife. I was finishing up some meaningless work that I was doing for them so I could leave in a rush. You know, folks, many of us have been raised up in this house and have served these two people. Listen to this. The woman said, I will have a baby by another means if you won't help me. And the man said, it will have to be by another means because I can't help you. She said, I think I'll have one by a Cherokee. Well, let me share with you the interpretation the Lord gave me. The woman here is a remnant of the apostate church. Obviously, folks, a lot of us were raised up that way in the apostate church, okay? But this remnant will realize that it could not bring forth fruit, the fruit of Jesus anyway, through their patriotic allegiance to their husband, the beast government. Do you see, by the way, folks, a lot of Christians pandering to the beast government, thinking that this is the way, you know? Worshipping the government or certain people in the government? Well, that's who we're talking about here. An apostate church is doing all that leaning and pandering and worshipping the government, the God and country stuff, you know? Well, in other words, since this remnant will realize that they're not going to bring forth fruit in this way, it'll have to be by other means. The Cherokee represent the witnesses, who, like them, will hold tenaciously to the roots of their ancestors or forefathers, the apostles and Christ himself. Do you understand who the witnesses' forefathers are? The apostles and Christ himself. They've come to restore the word that was once given to the church. You know, the apostle Paul called himself our father, right? You have not many fathers. I begat you through the gospel. So, the Cherokee, as you know, they hold to their ancestry. You know, they have tenaciously held to it and not been as absorbed in society as most any other group, matter of fact, that has come into the United States. And of course, that's the way we have to be, folks, not absorbed into society and assimilated by the beast and by the harlot, you know. Well, the Cherokee are an oppressed minority who live in camps, in some cases, separate from the world, representing these coming witnesses of primitive Christianity. These will rise up and sow the seed of their ancestors or forefathers in the apostate church to bring forth the fruit of Jesus in them. So you see, it will be by another means. The folks that are caught up into this God and country religion will realize, at least the remnant will realize that this is not the way to bear the fruit of Jesus. And basically the witnesses are going to be God's way of causing them to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. These are a weak people in themselves. In other words, comparing the witnesses to the Cherokee, so to speak, they're a weak people in themselves who lost their land, basically, to the American beast, but have held to the Great Spirit, whose power will bring the true church back to her roots. That's what the Lord gave me. And I think it fits pretty good with what's going to happen, because a remnant are going to listen to the words of these two witnesses and repent of their apostate religious idolatry with the harlot system and the beast system, which are married, by the way, spiritually speaking, like Ahab and Jezebel. And they're going to realize this is not going to bear any fruit for us. We got to come out from among them and be separate. And Amos went on. He said, I thought the Cherokee child would be born mature as Adam was. You know, Adam was created with age already on him. And I want to tell you, the Lord is going to do just that kind of a work, folks. When these people receive the word that so quickly and so gracefully is going to be poured out through these witnesses, it's going to bring forth great fruit, and it's going to bring forth great fruit in a hurry. God's going to do a very quick work in His people. In fact, Romans 9:28, for the Lord will execute His word upon the earth, finishing it and cutting it short. Isn't that interesting? The Lord's going to do a quick work. Do you know that God, according to what we just read back over there, or started to read over there in Exodus 23, He could drive the enemies out of your land in a moment. In other words, He can do a quick work if He wants to. And that's exactly what He's going to do in the last days. He's going to very quickly raise up these disciples into the image of Jesus Christ. And they are going to shake the world. I mentioned, I think it was the last meeting, how that God, Jesus, in a very short time, 3.5 years, made apostles. No, it didn't take that long. He made apostles of those disciples who were coming straight out of the harlot church. Can you imagine how quickly the pure word of God is able to raise people up? The unleavened bread is very quick to raise people up. Well, that's what's coming. Okay, now I'm going to share another one with you that I got actually right after that one. And this is a dream of the two witnesses that was given to Daniel Podvin. And he said, I was in a place like the Middle East, possibly Israel. This is code, folks, for the church. Do you understand why God does this? He does it to hide things from the wise and prudent and reveal it unto babes. Some people, a few who have eyes and ears, know who Israel is in the New Testament. They know He's not an Israelite who's one outwardly in the circumcision of the flesh. He's an Israelite who's one inwardly in the circumcision of the heart. So they know who Israel is. And a lot of the people that are in Babylon are not going to understand this. Okay? I was in a place like the Middle East, possibly in Israel. It was a desert environment. Yeah, the wilderness, right? The tribulation, right? I saw a group of men discussing why there was an empty grave and that one of their patriarchs was missing. Well, there's a couple of things you could see here. Of course, most people would see Jesus, you know, the great patriarch. But also the man-child has just gone through death, burial, and resurrection. And in a very spiritual way, he has been caught up to the throne in order to receive instructions like Moses and to bring back to the people in the wilderness, to bring back to the witnesses in the wilderness. Okay, I had the impression that they were Israelites. They began looking up at the sky. As they were looking up, I saw great fear come over their faces. I looked up as well, and I saw two men coming down from the sky dressed in sackcloth. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, folks, physically speaking, Moses and Elijah are not coming down out of heaven, right? Okay. But we do know that the spirit of Moses and Elijah is coming down out of heaven. It's, first of all, coming in the man-child to be sown through the spoken word, because the man-child's words are spirit and truth. That spirit and truth went into the disciples of Jesus and manifested in them the two witnesses. And that's the way it's going to be in our day too. So I saw two men coming down from the sky dressed in sackcloth. We all instinctively knew that these men were Moses and Elijah. Elijah landed first, and within seconds Moses landed. We also knew instinctively that if these men were impeded or restrained in any way by any individual, the consequence would be death. Whoa. You mean these people are going to really have authority and are really going to have the protection of God? Yeah, like the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. Call down fire out of heaven. Destroy their enemies, you know. Different judgments that will come forth. And the fire there doesn't mean physical fire. It means the authority of God to destroy their enemies through any kind of destruction that would come, you know. So, the people knew that these men had great authority, and they had better not try to get in their way or restrain them or whatever. And as Moses and Elijah started to walk, the men dispersed on either side, like the parting of the Red Sea, for their own safety. In other words, they got out of these guys' way, you know, basically, as if to recognize the holiness of these men. This is the strange part of the dream. I well knew that I could be killed by touching either of these men. And I thought to myself, this man Moses was just in the presence of God himself. So I hugged him. I waited for the consequence of my actions and saw in his face that it was permitted by God, and I was spared. He smiled and then walked his way. And Elijah and Moses went on separate paths into the desert. And again, we're talking about the spirit of Elijah and Moses being imparted to the people. Right? Two different groups followed each man. They each set a tabernacle or a podium and started preaching to their respective crowds. Immediately, a bleacher or seats appeared behind me, so I sat down and started to listen to what they had to say. I was at a distance witnessing the whole of both groups. Appearing beside me was this beautiful woman who started talking to me. I ignored her because I wanted to hear what Moses and Elijah had to say. Her words then turned into flattery, saying how special I was and what a great guy I was. As I continued to ignore her, her flatteries turned more and more flirtatious. And as I turned to her, I wondered why she was doing this, because I wanted to listen to the preaching and she was distracting me. So I told her, I'm trying to listen to these men of God. And I turned my attention back to the preaching. She then responded with a sexual proposal. And I would not stop you if you wanted to have me. And of course, obviously, this is the harlot who is attempting to seduce the servants of God who want to hear the word of God with worldly temptation, you know, adulation, flattery, these kind of things, you know. This is obviously what the apostate church offers to the people of God. So the harlot will attempt to seduce these servants with flesh-pleasing doctrines and distract the people who would listen to the witnesses. As the dream ended, I asked the Lord, "Who is this woman?" The Lord replied, "Jezebel." And then I heard from God that Jezebel hates men who have the anointing of Elijah and Moses. Yes, we know that. That's true. P.S. It is beyond my words how to describe how technicolor and vivid this dream was. I felt as if I actually met Moses and Elijah. Pretty neat, folks. God's really speaking some awesome things, you know. I'm seeing so many good confirmations of things that I've taught for years that the Lord has spoken in my spirit through the word of knowledge and wisdom, that now the prophets are confirming, and people with dreams too, and prophecies and so on and so forth. It's neat. And it's all coming soon. Coming soon. Great moves of God are coming soon. And I can't wait. Can you? There's a lot of prophecies and dreams coming lately, you know, of the imminence of this thing. And I tell you what, I just hope they're all correct. Praise God. I'm going to read this one. I read it once before, but I'm going to read it again because it's so much in agreement with what we've already read here, okay? This is from Susan Cummings. Take heed to my spirit. I've told you that things would change and new things would begin. I say to you that the mysteries are now to be revealed and are also now to be unfolded as you walk with me. Yes. Great mysteries, folks, are going to be revealed broadly across the world. There may be little pockets of deep revelation here and now, but they're about to be dispersed in a much more perfect way, much more pure way. The mistakes will be removed from it. God is going to give perfect wisdom to his man-child to speak for him, and then through the witnesses also. So great knowledge is going to come forth. And obviously people that want to be in idolatry with religion will be without excuse, as they were in Jesus' day. The great wisdom that Jesus gave, confirmed with signs and wonders, should have been enough, don't you think? Well, it should be in this day too, but it won't for the multitudes. Susan went on, "The time is far past for seeking my face, for now those who should have come will no longer have the grace to ascend." Ascend here is talking about the man-child being caught up to the throne. Yes, it's true that people who should have listened to God, who knew of God and knew of the Word years and years ago, should have spent that time wisely to run after the Lord and not get distracted by the things of the world. And they didn't spend that time like that. And now God is going to cause those who have been overcomers to ascend. For the door, he's not talking here about the witnesses, folks. Remember when Jesus came as the man-child? Those witnesses were coming right out of, most of them right out of apostate religion. So we're not talking about them when it says the time is past for seeking my face, nor the rest of the body. We're just talking about here those who are going to be in the man-child. For the door to the deeper truths being available to all in the coming season has begun to close. That's right. The Lord, do you know that some of these things have been shared out there? I've shared some of these revelations that I've never heard anywhere else but from the Lord Himself. And yet, most people don't receive it. They're too in love with the traditions of men. Like Jesus told the Pharisees, you make of no effect the Word of God by your traditions. Okay, and so they've turned down these truths. And now, many of those people are not going to be privy to those truths. The purging and the refining that was necessary for the containment and functioning in the greater revelations has ended in its season. And all this I have told you. Now I want to say something about prophecy, folks. Prophecy is no good if it only gets out to one or two. The reason God gives a prophecy is so that it gets out to multitudes of people, because then it has an effect. So many times prophecies are very imminent, but people think, wow, imminent to God sure means different than imminent to me, because I've been looking for this for a while, you know. Well, that's because the prophecy has to get out for it to be any good, you see. So for it to have any effect. So she goes on, "Now comes the demonstration of the word that you allowed to be formed within you. The hidden truths will now be brought forth in the vessels that were made ready. Great will be the persecution of the greater works, but greater will be the demonstration from heaven through the precious seed and amongst those who believe." Yes, hallelujah. "Know that I have gathered you, and that I have prepared you, and I have made all things ready. My hand will rest upon you in greater measures, even this night. For the hour is passing. Even time itself is changing, and the dimensions of my word within you is now activating. You are experiencing the power of transformation, the process of my resurrection power as it flows within you and now through you. For my word is alive." Yes, it is. Living and active, and sharper than a two-edged sword. "As my word brings life to those who embrace it and to those who And so will my eternal word bring you more fully into my purposes for you. But those who reject me, as I now come with demonstration of my truths, the word itself will judge them, and their fate will be sealed by their choice." Notice what, did you hear what was said there? This is exactly the instances we looked at earlier about the prophet that was to come, and about the angel that went before the people. My word is in him. And the Lord speaks out of the prophet and out of the messenger. I'll read this again. "But those who reject me, as I now come with demonstration of my truths, the word itself will judge them." Jesus said the exact same thing. "The word that I speak will judge them, and their fate will be sealed by their choice." And so it was with Jesus as our type and shadow. His words divided He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And his words divided between those that love and want to be disciples and those who just want to serve their old flesh in a worldly religion and idolatry. Susan goes on, all things are changing, yet few understand the transition. All things are passing away, yet few see the truth. All things are being fulfilled, yet few believe my written word. And all things are mine, yet few will receive me as I am. Take heed to my spirit as I move, then you also will move. As I speak, then you also will speak. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. We're supposed to speak the Lord's word, aren't we? As I release the mysteries to my vessels, so you also will partake of the hidden manna. And then you will feed my sheep. Very interesting. The hidden manna will be fed, and then those people to whom it's fed will feed the sheep. Hold back no longer, but be strong and fear not. Great is the reward to those who are blood-bought and who deny me not. Ages have come and ages have gone upon the earth, and each of them I have wrought my work, even amongst men who mocked and ridiculed. But I say, it is finished. I have done all of my preparations for this hour, and I am now bringing forth the change. Now comes forth my demonstrations. Yes, great demonstrations are coming, folks. And the demonstrations that are the confirmations of the word itself. Wave upon wave will I now release. Demonstration upon demonstration will be seen before all who did not believe. You saw the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels and the miracles of the witnesses in the book of Acts. And even before unbelievers, and yet they still wouldn't come. Their hearts were hardened. She goes on, for the hearts of men will pass through my sieve. As this final age comes to an end, I will gather mine unto me. You know what the Lord is saying is obviously when you see the truth and hear the truth, move quickly to do something with it. Don't think that you can waste time as in the past. Move quickly to act upon it and to do something with it. And it will be demonstrated with signs and wonders following, just as it was in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Great mysteries hidden from the beginning will now begin to unfold before men as they now come face to face with their rebellions. Hearts will break and be rent as they behold me, the God they rejected, and I will move before them. Also, each unfolding that comes forth will also cause natural reactions as well. The earth will further travail and shake, for the power of my word will increase with each revelation that comes. For my word upholds all things and judges all things, and all that is fallen in nature and all that has been dimmed by the separation from truth will now come face to face with my light. And great will be the reaction between the darkness and the light. Well, I believe that that's true. I mean, I've said it before. I believe that what we're about to see is the feet of the body of Christ to come face and face with the feet of the body of the beast, as Daniel's revelation points out, you know. Meaning the body, meaning the feet being the end time body, you know. And what you're talking about is the manifestation of the sons of God. At the same time, there's a manifestation of the sons of the devil. Can you imagine a more explosive mixture? that's what we're coming to. Prepare yourselves, stand firm, and fear not. All is well, and the end is not yet. It is only the demonstration. But many will cry out that it is the end. Yet I am only shaking the heavens and the earth and the hearts of men. What will they do when my glory fully descends? Yet I am coming, and have indeed already come, but few noticed. You know, Jesus said, if they receive you, they receive me, right? And he that receives me, receives him that sent me. Yet I am coming, and have indeed already come, yet few noticed the transition that took place. And I will even bring greater transformation amongst the coming destructions. It has already begun. You have known, for I have shown you, and you have prepared, for I have purged you, and you have stood, for I have tested you. and you will bring forth, for I have filled you. It's time to reveal the unfolding word of mine. The operation and function will be seen in the midst of the changes, for the transition is complete and the boundaries are set. Yet the greatest waves will come one upon the other as I gather and release and set up my kingdom in the hearts of men. That's what the Lord is coming to do, is to manifest His kingdom in us, where He rules in us. My kingdom is within you, and so much more. There are even more parts yet to explore. I will bring them forth, and you will know. You will know me even more. For my word will unfold within you, and upon you, and through you, as I open the revelations reserved for this hour. For great will be the demonstration that will come from the birthing forth. And we know what the birthing forth is, right? We're being birthed forth from the church at large, right? First the first fruits, and then those that mature and bear the fruit of Christ, they will be birthed. So it's a continual birthing, actually, all the way through the tribulation. Take heed to my spirit, and do not waver, for greater shakings upon the earth will I bring as I deal with the sin and the hardened hearts of men. But upon you will my fire greatly descend, and you will be carried upon my winds. That's awesome. For I will fashion you to now be sent. To you the veil is fully rent, and to walk in the revelation and demonstration of my word, and to reap my harvest and my judgments. For my sword will judge all things, and life and death will follow each choice. The veil is fully rent. You know, for those who will walk into the Holy of Holies, a place that once only the high priest could be so close to God. But when Jesus died, He made it possible. He rent that veil, and we were able to enter into the presence of God. Praise be to God. And that was Susan Cummins' revelation. It fits so well with the other stuff that we shared. I thought I would share that.